Talk is an extension of the long-running, award-winning movie review show, It's Movie Time, which airs Fridays at 4:01 and 8:01 p.m. on WCBE 90.5 FM, Columbus, Ohio. Hosted by John DeSando, this podcast version features additional content and banter with guests.
I'm John DeSando.
And I'm the guest, Mary Urena.
And this is Back Talk. Mary, the film we're doing today is Corsage. You mean to tell me this is a girly movie?
Well, it's a movie about a girl, but it's not the type of corsage you think it is.
Ah, and how do you explain that?
Well, having taken French in school, a corsage to me is a flowery thing that you wear on your wrist or your lapel. However, corsage in German actually means corset. And this is about the Empress Elizabeth of Austria and Queen of Hungary, who becomes Empress at a very young age. And
16, I think.
16, oh, my Lord. Franz Joseph, the Emperor of Austria. And you come into this story when she's about 40 years old. And in real life, she was famous for wearing a corset, which the lead actress, Vicky Creeps, does in this film. In fact, she wanted to the point of her own discomfort.
Yeah, she wore it the whole day.
She would wear it the whole day of the shoot. It took hours to get her laced into it. But she wanted to feel what Elizabeth would have felt. But the corset, the corsage, actually metaphorically represents the confined role that this woman has been forced into due to her gender, due to her position in society, due to her marriage to the emperor. And it's that constantly tightening effect that is strangling her and who she really is.
She's not nice to some of her attendants who don't pull it tight enough for
her. That is true.
And this is true. This is historically true.
It is historically true. She was known for her great beauty and for her very thin, corseted appearance, which was the look and expectation of beauty at the time.
I remember one of my favorite Australian movies called A Picnic at Hanging Rock, in which one of the images was of the young women at this girls' school and tightening each other's corsets. And as you were talking about metaphorically, it just works perfectly about how they're tightened, imprisoned, and so on by that, by the school, by the expectations of society and all that. In this movie, the director, Marie Kreutzer, does not have any problem repeating that motif.
No, she does not. And I will say, we haven't even talked about the time period, but this takes place in the 19th century. This is the 18th century. I believe we join her in 1877, 1878.
Yes, exactly.
And this was the expectation. This was the fashion of the time. But I think the interpretation by the director, who also wrote the script, is more mythical, more fantastical than the true Elizabeth. So it's not, it is a historically based film, but it's a fictional account and I think an interpretation of what Marie Kreutzer and Vicky Creeps, the lead actress who somewhat planted the seed for this movie to be made, of how they imagine this woman who had very modern desires, and I mean modern in our era, and modern values and modern take on life, was really confined into her role in society. And we can only guess that that is truly how she felt, but we do see modern things that I know when I was watching the film, it alludes to the fact that she probably has an eating disorder because it's what she can control.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
And she also wants to control her image, i.e. being in this corset and being perceived as being so thin.
Quite an equestrian.
Yes. And a sportswoman.
Yeah. Yeah. So and they feature that in this film.
Yes.
Which is surely a way of her getting away. And getting free, and as you would say, getting control.
Yeah, it was few aspects of her life that she could control would be her body, what she took into her body,
yes,
how she used her body. And all elements of her life, I think we see that portrayed, not only in terms of food and health and exercise, but also sexually.
Yeah, and you bring up an important point, and I say this important because we have a mutual friend who is going to see this movie because of its historical value. And he was surprised when I told him it was fiction, and that because he is going to, he would come back to me immediately and say, that is not the way she died.
It is not the way she died.
It is not.
Nor at the age she died.
Oh, right. And I have to tell him, this is just all, it is fiction. It is an interpretation of what they believe to be her spirit, my guess.
Yes, yeah. And her sensibilities, and that she felt trapped and wanted to escape. And there's certainly... they borrow from her real life as to how she chose to escape, but they, in the film, certainly take it a step further in terms of her escaping her life in a permanent way.
Yes, although I would have to say, given the license that they took, I like the ending very much.
I liked it as well, and I have to tell you, it was not the ending I was thinking was going to happen as we watched it.
You are going to tell me that either now or later.
I'll tell you now, and you can edit it out if you want. So when I was watching the film, and certain events are happening, especially with her lady-in-waiting, that led me to believe that she was going to fake her own death with her lady-in-waiting's body.
Oh, good.
And then she was going to go off and...
Yeah, I like it.
And lead a life of that she wanted
anonymous
to lead.
An anonymous life. Yeah, very... That's
which would have been in the spirit of Elizabeth, because Elizabeth did travel extensively.
Yes.
And often traveled incognito or anonymous. And in fact, she was traveling anonymously in Geneva, but word got out that she was staying at a hotel, and another royal from another country had left, and an Italian anarchist chose to stab her to death instead of the man who had left.
Yes, yes.
So unfortunately, it was a circumstance of opportunity and the fact that her anonymity had been blown.
Yeah, right.
That she actually was killed.
And I think she had an affection for Hungary. She spent an awful lot of time in Hungary.
She did, and the Hungarians had a great affection for her.
Yeah.
In fact, when her body, it was confirmed that she was dead and her body was being returned for burial, at first it just said Elizabeth, Emperor of Austria, on her casket, and the Hungarians were outraged and felt that it should include Anne, Queen of Hungary, and it did. But more than that, I mean, Elizabeth was the mythic figure. Had there been social media in the 1800s, she would have been, leading the pack in terms of followers. That's how popular and well known she was. And to the extent that in the 1900s, several movies were made about her, several books were made about her. You can buy every type of touristy tchotchke you can think of with her image on it in Austria. And so it interestingly, according to the director, Marie Kreutzer, she wasn't that interested in this topic because she lives in Vienna had grown up with all the kitschy touristy stuff about Elizabeth. But as she did more research and discovered, the interesting aspects of Elizabeth's personality and her life, she decided to make it into a film, but I think a more fictionalized film.
Well, I think that there were three films that Maria Schneider, I think
Romy Schneider,
right, that Romy Schneider had made that were really sugar-coated, from what I understand.
Right, and they're called the CC films because CC was Elizabeth's nickname with her family.
Yeah.
She was not interested in this topic at all, but Vicky Creeps, who plays Elizabeth, was intrigued by her and encouraged Marie to revisit the topic, and she did.
Yes.
And we are left with this film as a result of those efforts.
Yeah, and I thought Creeps was an interesting actress to play the part, notwithstanding her intense interest in it. But because she's not a classic beauty, which I had expected that Sissy was, she's a beautiful woman. But she's the kind of beautiful woman I like, which is not perfect. And so, anyway, yes, I thought as an actress that it perhaps was a real advantage for this film that they didn't just emphasize that beauty. It was clear, and she was attempting to make herself stay young and beautiful, but she was not distractingly beautiful. She just was fascinating looking, and had a certain charisma about her that wasn't just coming from the way she looked.
And actually, she was kept separate from the cast because they wanted her, the director wanted her to retain her sense of being an empress and not be too familiar with the cast, which is very against Vicky Creeps' personality an actress. But the thing that was very much in her personality was really understanding Elizabeth, what they were trying to convey about Elizabeth feeling trapped as a prisoner in her own life. And there are several scenes that were not scripted that were ended up being left in the film. Well, the most famous instance of Vicky really staying in the moment and going off script is there's a scene at the end of a fencing scene where she, as Elizabeth, is supposed to have won the fencing duel with her husband, Franz Joseph, but the actor playing that role decided to turn the tables and actually win the fencing match. And her reaction to that in character as Elizabeth was greatly upset because this is one area where in the script Elizabeth wins. She beats her very controlling husband. And when he turned the tables on her and did not do that, Vicky went to the window and the director kept rolling and she jumped out the window. There was another scene in the film that was scripted where she was to jump out the window and they filmed both, but this is the one that they kept, the one that she ad-libbed.
It was a first floor window.
And it was a first floor window. Right, so Vicky was not harmed. Yeah.
And I'm reminded that, in fact, she went down on her horse.
She does go down on her horse.
So that there were imperfections even in her greatness.
Yes.
Which leads me into the question, Mary. I think people might look at this as a feminist film. How would you respond to that?
I don't know if it's a feminist film so much as it's putting a modern feminist spin on the story of this woman who was not in a time where feminism was allowed or appreciated.
Yeah.
So in that sense, it certainly is fantastical. It's mythological. Yes. And I mean, there is a sense of she finally takes control and gains her freedom, but at an incredibly great cost.
Yes, yes.
And to a certain extent, that's liberating, but also very hard to watch. And I hope that we live in a time where a woman exercising agency over her own life doesn't need to come to that extreme.
Yeah, and I think you caught the spirit of it in the way that I like to think of it. Sometimes there's a pejorative connotation to feminism. But in this case, I saw her not only as woman, but as a human being entrapped. And how many women, even if she was 16, but how many women make a mistake of marrying the wrong guy? Now, you fortunately met Bob, and you have a completely equal relationship.
Yes, so, we do. I did not make a mistake.
You did not make a mistake. But I think there are women more than men who have made a mistake for reasons that were beyond love or a smart decision. And how to get trapped, I think, was the metaphor you used. And that's the one here. She is trapped.
She is trapped, but she also lived in an era and as a part of royalty where she did not have a choice.
Yes.
The emperor was actually supposed to be introduced to her older sister and propose to her older sister, Helene, but he Elizabeth was so beautiful at age 15 that he's like, I'm not going to marry Helene, yes. Mom. If I'm going to marry anybody, it's going to be Elizabeth. And that is indeed what came to pass. And she was 16 years old. I don't know about you, but at 16, I'm not sure I really knew what I wanted in life and in love.
Doesn't it just break your heart to think that? And Franz Joseph in this film says something that I thought pretty much captured that the really negative part of feminism that it spies in relationships. Is he said that he commands and she represents.
Yes.
Whoa, ouch. That pretty much puts her in her place.
Puts her in her place.
And no
throughout
doubt true.
The film.
Yeah.
And no doubt true.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, and the one element that I was surprised wasn't portrayed here is, as we talk about feminism, is the power behind his throne was really his mother
until she
died.
Yes.
I think her name was Sophie.
Yes.
Empress Sophie, Empress Dowager Sophie. She controlled his politics. She wanted to control who he was going to marry. In fact, when they did have their first two children, she named the first grandchild Sophie after herself.
Yes.
And she actually took them away from their mother to raise them the way she wanted them to be raised. And Elizabeth was raised in a family that was much more free-spirited and adventurous and outdoorsy and didn't live under these royal Habsburg court conditions. And so it was a shock to her system to have to marry him and to have to live in court with all the ceremonies and all of the ladies-in-waiting. And she was never alone. She always had a lady-in-waiting with her. And so it was really... It was a corsage. It was a corset that was tied very tightly around her.
And it was curious to me that they didn't play up this dowager mother controller in the film.
She's not even in the film at all.
No, I guess not.
But it would have made it a longer film.
It would, yeah. But boy, I
and
thought,
it didn't need to be longer.
No, it did not. But I did think it was an intriguing part of the film. And maybe it would have been too difficult to take to see her snatch those babies from the young mother.
Yeah, and I also think that perhaps it would have been, what it would have done, I think, is it would have provided a counterpoint to Elizabeth and why she wants to escape so much. Not just what we've described, but, you know, she was competing with this other woman to find her place in the court that she's been told your role is to represent.
Yes.
And yet you have this other woman who's controlling everything. So you couldn't really represent. So that could have been why the choice was made. I do think it's unfortunate that a true life biopic hasn't been made of her life, because her life, I think, is far more interesting than even this mythological version of her life.
You know, as I think of particular scenes, and I see this movie as being very episodic. It's not that everything flows from one to the other. It's more like moments. Mm-hmm. She's on a horse here. She's having an affair here. It doesn't necessarily all mesh together.
No.
And the one scene that I love is when she brings his future mistress in. Wasn't that fascinating? I wonder if that's true. Wow.
I do not know.
I mean, she arranged for this young girl to be his mistress because I think he'd been interested in her already. But it was a strange scene to me, but so well done, because Sissy was just completely cool about it.
And very businesslike, very matter of fact.
Yes.
I thought the other interesting scene, there are actually two scenes, and it portrayed the relationship between her and her most senior lady-in-waiting, who stood in for her at an event, because at this point she's addicted to heroin as prescribed by her doctor and has no interest in, and I do not know if that's true, whether or not she actually went down that road. But in the film, after the lady-in-waiting stands in for her, things start to happen, and for instance, the lady-in-waiting receives a proposal and discusses it with the Empress, And the Empress basically says no. And I was thinking, wow.
Yes.
How, you know, up to that point, you were seeing her as the victim. But in this case, yes. Because again, it was something she could control. And she wasn't willing to let this woman out of her life. And then it progresses even further. And you see her, the lady in waiting, whose name I can't even remember, which is terrible. Getting an identical anchor tattoo on her shoulder.
Oh, yes.
Back shoulder blade.
Yes.
Ooh. The same one that the queen has. Oh, yes. Which is why I was thinking alternative ending.
Yeah, right.
So, those were two very interesting scenes. And the latter scene, there was no dialogue.
Okay.
It's just the lady in waiting getting the tattoo sitting next to the queen. So that the tattoo she has is exposed to the tattooist.
Yeah. Well, Mary Arena, the film is Corsage, and you have very nicely explained to us that this is really a corset, not a flower, although she is a flower.
She is a beautiful flower. Yeah. I think the unfortunate thing is she lived in a time where that was all she was allowed to be.
Sure. So it's... the movie is called...
Corsage.
Yeah, Corsage. And... I myself would recommend it for film buffs and historians if they're willing to accept the fiction of this. For the general audience, I just can't see it. Mary, why do you feel?
I feel the same way. This is showing at a few theaters in the Central Ohio area. Her performance, similar to Cate Blanchett's in Tar.
Yes.
Is worth seeking out if you want to see really good acting. And in fact, this actress, we talked about her last year because she played Alma in Phantom Thread.
And she was, that really launched her career.
It did.
And worth seeing. It's on Netflix, I think.
Oh, I'm sure. It's streaming through multiple
Phantom Thread
service.
With Daniel Day-Lewis.
But her performance is really, I think, on par with great performances in cinema this past year amongst women.
Although no one will beat Kate.
Probably not. This film, however, she did win the Cannes Film Festival and Saint-Denis Best Actress Award.
Okay.
And in certain regard, for those of you who don't know, runs parallel and is sponsored by Cannes, but it's not part of the Palme d'Or. It's for films that are unique or unusual in style that don't qualify for the general Palme d'Or competition. So this film has received recognition as her performance particularly should. So I think it's worth seeking out, but I agree with you. Unless you're a film buff, unless you specifically want to see her performance, you have to have a specific reason of what your likes and values are to want to see this film.
And I'm glad that we did not have Bob Redfield come with us.
No one was more glad than my husband after I told him about it.